May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. If you look back over your life, I wonder if there is a time that you find hard to recall or hard to make sense of. Perhaps there are a few years missing from the photograph albums or your diary. I wonder if you had taken a wrong turn in life and it took you a while to work it out. When you think about it now, you realize that you were lost, but you didn't know it at the time. In those situations, we can get deeper and deeper into trouble, taking more and more wrong turns. It might have been an unhappy relationship or bad lifestyle choices, a stressful job, anything that slowly destroys you and sucks the joy from life. Today, I want to talk about that kind of being lost, because Luke, the writer of our gospel, is particularly interested in lost people. More than any of the other three gospel writers, Luke tells stories about lostness. He has a whole chapter in which Jesus tells three parables, one after the other. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son, sometimes called the prodigal son. The sheep, and the son in particular, do not at first know that they're lost. They've set off for a great adventure and not noticed how far they have strayed into danger until it seems almost too late. But what about the time when Jesus got lost? Luke is the only gospel writer to tell us the story of Jesus being left behind in the temple, which took his mother and father a whole 24 hours to realize it had happened. Don't be misled. This is a very different story about being lost and found. On the surface, it's about a 12-year-old boy getting lost and being finally found by his parents. But when Jesus is reunited with his mother and father, it becomes clear that the story is not about Jesus being lost, but about his parents being found. Jesus knows exactly who he is and where he needs to be, in his father's house. It's his mother and father who have lost him and need help to find him, who have perhaps lost sight of who he is and who they are, entrusted with the care of God's own son for a season. The first two chapters of Luke give us the whole gospel in miniature, as they tell us of a preliminary journey to Jerusalem, tell the story of traveling to Jerusalem for the Passover and then finding that Jesus is not with us anymore. Where is he? After 3 days, they found him in the temple, in his father's house. Now perhaps we might recognize that this is a story about the crucifixion and resurrection. It's the overture, so that when we get to the journey to Jerusalem next time, we will recognize it. Jesus and his disciples will journey to Jerusalem for the Passover, and the disciples will journey away from Jerusalem, thinking that they have lost Jesus forever on the cross, and not understanding that they are the ones who are lost. Jesus wasn't lost on the cross. He was in exactly the right place, going to exactly the right place, the place prepared for him. his Father's house. On the cross, Jesus may not have known that there is one further return journey to come, the journey back to show his disciples resurrection life. When the friends who think they have lost him will find him, or rather, he will find them. When we see the disciples in those post-crucifixion days, they're so lost, they're travelling in the wrong direction. They're returning to Galilee to go fishing. They're heading out of Jerusalem to Emmaus. Jesus has to go and find them, fishing by the lake, walking along the road. So lost, they don't even recognize him when he appears. On the road to Emmaus, Luke tells us that Jesus unpacks the scriptures for the disciples so that they'll be ready to recognize him in that moment of the breaking of bread. I'm particularly fond of that story because it shows Jesus doing what we do every Sunday morning when we unpack the scriptures in turn. It shows Jesus as the ultimate interpreter of scripture, not just in what he says, but in what he does. But it's intriguing because we don't know what he said. Imagine if he started at the beginning, at the first moment in history, when men and women got lost for the first time, making the choice to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge, turning away from God. There in paradise, they had everything they needed, but they were hungry for something else, hungry for the one thing that God had forbidden them. Just like that lost son, they lusted for something new or different, for a great adventure. They made a wrong turn, and we have been getting lost ever since. There is just one note of grace, a theme that will recur later. After the expulsion from the garden, God gently clothes Adam and Eve to protect them from the worst of the weather and to cover their shame. When we are found, God has prepared even more beautiful clothes for us in Christ. As Paul shares with us in the letter to the Colossians, the wonderful news that in baptism we are clothed with garments that Christ has prepared for us. The clothing of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Life is not a straight line journey, and we may wander from the pathway more than once. But each Sunday, when we come together, Jesus the Christ comes too, in word and sacrament. And what Luke tells us in this story, in the parables and in the resurrection appearances, in the breaking of the scriptures and the breaking of bread, is that Jesus shows us over and over again the way home, the way to his Father and our Father. One day we will know that we who have been lost are found. Today is the overture to that day when we celebrate. Like the sheep returned to the sheepfold, like the son returned to his family, clothed in finery and welcomed with a feast, welcomed into the embrace of the Father, who celebrates in his turn because the child he thought dead is alive, and what has been lost is found. Amen.